This time of year, we are often looking forward to Christmas. I know the countdowns are in most of the shops you go to. It's probably in the newspaper or on the news. They say, oh, so many days until Christmas. Not only that, but we like to do little things. And I do hope as a family that you and your loved ones do something to point to Christ during this time. And sometimes it's little things that will stick, that will remind us, encourage us, and strengthen our love for God, increase our joy. Maybe it's as simple as a little decoration, and I hope you don't get too distracted with the decorations that are up. Thank you, ladies, for doing that. It's something to brighten up the look here, but hopefully it is not a distraction, but rather points us to our Savior. And truly, that is what this time of year is about. That is, Jesus is the reason for the season. That's one of those phrases everyone likes to use. But truthfully, Christmas is not about gifts, except in that it is an opportunity for us to point to Christ, Jesus, the greatest gift. It is not a time for special dress-ups or family meals, except that it was the time when Christ came, and we remember that He became part of the family of humanity at that time. And just like the queen, the king now, we don't celebrate His birthday on His actual birthday. We set aside a particular day to do it, and it's not necessarily His birthday. The same is true with our Savior. It is not that this time of year we can prove this is the date upon which He was born, but it is a day when we can come together and say, our Savior was born. And we should rejoice in that. Why did Jesus say that He came into the world? This is what we will be looking at today, because Jesus declares on several occasions, this is why I came into the world. And on several occasions, the Gospels proclaim to us why He came into the world. And so we'll look at a few of those, and then I hope we will be encouraged to remember why Jesus came. If we go first to Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. This is Jesus Himself speaking. He says, for even the Son of Man, pointing to Himself, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. This one verse encapsulates two of the purposes for which Jesus Christ came. Jesus came, the Son of Man, He became enfleshed, that word incarnate that we sing about in several of the hymns this morning, incarnate or enfleshed, made to have a body, clothed in humanity but still divine, yet He came to minister to others. And He came to give His life, a ransom for many. Jesus came, He was sent, not to put Himself up, not to rule as king, that will come one day, but He came to serve others. He came to give of Himself. We could look at many other cultures and many other religions, and we would find quite a different picture from their gods. Jesus shows us God's heart. God has a serving heart. We would never know that except He sent Jesus to be a servant, a minister to all. Other gods like Zeus or Ra or any of those others, they were not good examples. The kind of people that they were, their personality was evil. They were petty and harsh. And they came wanting their will to be done in a way like a tyrant might. But here God comes, and he comes to serve. He comes to give. Jesus served in many different ways. And if we go to, there's so many passages on this. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, and I've got to stop using that phrase. I keep doing that. Sorry, I use that filler phrase. Anyways, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, begin reading in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We have here Jesus having the mindset, the heart attitude of a servant, and that this service was found throughout his whole life, but specifically in his death. That lines up pretty good with Mark 10, doesn't it? Jesus cries out, I have come not to be ministered unto, not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life. That is what he came to do. Our Savior came and became a man in order that he might serve us better. We would do well to realize that when God took on the form of a servant, he became a man. And that tells us the nature of man. Mankind are not the rulers of this world. Although we have been given dominion over it, yet we are servants. We are to serve. That is our makeup. That is how we are fashioned. That is, if you will, that is the picture of what we should look like. Servants. None of us like to think of ourselves in that way. We like to be served. At least sometimes, right? But instead we find Jesus a servant to men and being obedient. How can we fail to be a servant if Christ was a servant? We must be a servant. Do you know that God the Father shows himself to us through his Son very clearly? You know, God could have said, I am holy, I am just, I am, and just listed all the things that he is. And listed, I am willing to serve, I help, I comfort. But instead, he sent us his Son so that we would have a visual picture of God's service towards us. God was not just willing to do a little bit to help us along our way. But he was willing to give of everything that he had. That is, God the Father sent his Son. And God the Son was willing to take on flesh. Some of us are vain and we think our beauty astounds everyone. But all of us would recognize that beauty fades. It is a fleeting thing. That is, the outward beauty. It is not something that is lasting, because that is not what is important to God. When Jesus took on human flesh, he looked just like every other man. And if we all looked around right now, we'd say, oh, that's not that great, is it? if he was just a normal-looking guy, he wasn't astounding in any way, beauty-wise. He wasn't there to receive any sort of accolades for himself, no one to praise him, but instead he wanted to serve. When someone is serving, their service is what you look at, what you consider. It is not their face or their personality. It is the service that they do. That is what is under observation. And you might notice when someone is very helpful in bringing your food at the restaurant, and they are have a servant's attitude in how they present the food to you, and that they don't spill it all over you, that kind of thing. You know, that you can notice their attitude and their abilities as one who serves. But you don't look at all of the other character qualities of their life. You're looking at their service. And then you praise them rightly for doing such a good job. At least I hope you do. I hope you're grateful when someone serves you your food. But here we see Jesus serving up his life for us in such a way that he took no glory to himself. He humbled himself in his death. He was willing to be shamed, mocked, and abused in his death, in his gift to us. If we were to put it another way, God wrapped himself in flesh, and then he unwrapped his flesh on the cross and showed us that he, as God, was willing to rescue each and every one of us. That is the Son of Man. That is Jesus Christ. If we go now to the book of John, and there's a fair few passages here in John we'll be looking at, where Jesus declares things about himself and actually claims that these are the reasons that he came. The book of John, and we'll go to John chapter 10. We'll begin reading in verse 7. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We have here the parable of Jesus describing himself as the door or the shepherd. And here in verse 10, he specifically says that he is come that they might have life. He is come that they might have life. That was Jesus' purpose in coming. Why did Jesus come, and why didn't he just say, well, I'm God and I'm everywhere at once? Why did he have to come and be born and live and then die in service towards us? Well, it was so that he could bring us life. And not just life, but an abundant life. A more abundant life. This is Jesus' main focus. He wants them to have life. You say, who does God want to have life? Who does Jesus say in this passage that he wants to have life? Well, anyone who hears him and then enters in, they have life. They have life. Life from Jesus and life that is abundant. Jesus came and came as a baby in order that we might have life. When we see newborns or very little babies, we often ooh and ah. Even some of the guys' hearts melt and they give the baby a little cuddle, you know. Because of the excitement and joy that new life brings. It's exciting. And here Jesus is saying that new life is available through him. And because he was born, and even as a little baby, he was seen as life to those who would come. If we go now back a page or so to John chapter 9 and verse 38. We'll read verse 38 and 39 here. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him, that is, he worshipped Jesus. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see... For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Jesus came to judge the world. Now, as a baby, he wasn't judging. And even upon the cross, he was not judging us at that point. Instead, he was judging sin, thankfully. And one day he will come again and he will judge all. But if he had not come in the flesh, he would not have come to judge us. Not only that, but his coming allows us to see. Jesus comes to bring sight to a blind world. When we look around us, we see how blind the world is. Christmas, and then they take the word Christ out of it so that we forget Christ. Or they say Christmas, but then everything they talk about, it's all Santa Claus this, it's all gifts that, it's all I want. And instead, Christ came that they might see how blind they are to the salvation that Christ wants to offer them. And it is only He who can give them eyes to see. His very coming brought the opportunity for them to see. The world was ignorant of God and ignorant of his love towards them. But when Jesus was born, and then through his life and death, they saw that God loves us. That's quite a remarkable thought. That's one that we could not see except for Christ coming to this earth. We could not see how much God has done for us. Jesus is specifically speaking of the blindness of men's heart and not seeing their own sin. If we jump down to verse 41 there, the last verse of that chapter, we see Jesus said, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. That is, because the Pharisees' hearts was blind to their need, their sin, therefore they were not willing to come to Jesus who could give them, as we've already seen, life, as we've already seen, the gift of his own life. Jesus came to bring sight. If we go now to John chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 37. This is at Jesus' trial, where he is being tried by Pilate. That's John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. We have here Jesus saying that he came into the world and was born not to make him a king, but rather because he was king. But he came in order that the whole world would be able to know the truth. In other words, mankind already didn't listen to God's witness. Mankind already didn't want to have anything to do with God, didn't want to hear about God. Even the knowledge they had of God, they despised, turned their back on, and went to make gods for themselves out of wood and out of stone and out of precious metals. Things rather than the Creator. Things created like the stars in the sky rather than God who created all. And so Jesus came to be a witness to them. That even if they only saw Jesus and thought, here is a man, if they heard his words, they would say, God wants something from us. God exists. God wants us to know the truth. Jesus' life allows us to see in picture form, to see in a real and living way that which is true. God is perfectly holy, righteous, just, but God is also fully merciful, long-suffering, loving, and God wants to redeem you. That is the truth. Yes, Jesus is King, and a lot of our Christmas carols proclaim that loudly. Jesus is King. And if He is King in your heart, that is amazing. And one day He will be King on this very earth. But when Jesus was born, He was born in the stable. When He was born lowly, unnoticed by most, unheralded by all except for the shepherds and people from far, far away who traveled long to see Him. He was not recognized by those around as being King. Instead, He was just seen in the flesh that He had as a baby, as a boy, as a man. And yet, the truth that He proclaimed is still ringing out. I have come that the blind might see. I have come that ye might receive life more abundant, more free. If we go now to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. We have here a confession that each Christian must be able to stand on. A confession of truth that we must abide by because Jesus is truth. It is the confession that Jesus is come in the flesh. He has come in a body. You see, God could not die for our sins. God could not die at all. But Jesus, when He took upon Himself flesh and was born in that manger, He made a way that it was possible for Him to redeem us, to pay the penalty of our sins. That is amazing. That should be something we declare loudly and often. Jesus has come. He has come. He came in a body. There are so many other aspects of Him having a real body that we could look at today. I'll just mention a few of them. So many aspects of how Him being in flesh gives us great hope, comfort, joy, allows us to relate to Him, to understand who He is and what He has done. I just want to mention that He is incarnate, which means that He understands us in a way that we can recognize. You see, God already knew everything. He still does. But there's a difference between knowing and experiencing, being in something, to be a part of something. And here we have a difference, and I'll give you a silly illustration. If you, like one famous guy who went and lived with wolves for a while, it's a crazy thing to do, who wanted to understand the world through a wolf's eyes. He even sometimes would crawl around on his hands and knees so that he saw through their perspective. Yet, no matter how much he might have wanted to, he could not experience what a wolf experiences, nor could he understand what was going through their minds, as much as he might have thought he did. Jesus is not just pretending to be human. He didn't come down as a full-grown man and just appear as a person and then look like he died. But no, he came and he grew up. He crawled on the ground. And he experienced this world with the five senses that we normally talk about, you know, touch and feel and sight and hearing. He experienced the world in the same way that we do. And during his life, he got to understand the emotions, the loves, the hates, the joys, the triumphs. You know, that guy who would pretend to be the wolf. Even if he howled at the moon, he could not tell you what would be in the heart of the wolf who was howling at the moon, because his imitation was nothing like what they did. And when he sniffed around, he was not smelling what the wolf smelled, because the wolves' noses are so different. What they smell and what they can smell, hugely, yeah, some say superior, different than ours. Hugely different. And so God is able to say, I know what it's like to taste something that's a little bit off. I know what it's like to see something that's so bright that you have to shade your eyes. I know what it's like to feel the heat of the day, the cool of the night. Jesus knows what that feels like on a personal and real level. The same way that we experience things, he experienced things on this earth. And so when we read that he knows the feelings, or is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, we can say, Jesus knows what it's like. He knows what it's like for it to be a hot day outside and to be a little bit oppressed by the heat of the day. He knows what it's like to be thirsty, hungry. That should give us great comfort. Our Savior is touched by our feelings. But he was not touched by our sin. He was not touched by our sin. Yet he was touched with our temptations. In every point, like as we have been tempted, he was tempted. He knows what it's like to have desires and interests and to be pulled toward things that are right or are wrong. He knows what that's like. Did he ever sin? No. Was he ever pulled to sin? No. But he knows what those feelings, for lack of a better word, the emotions that go on, the chemicals in our heads, all of that stuff, he knows how we act in a personal way, and he still loves us. I want you to imagine with me if Jesus Christ had come as he did, born in a manger, growing up, and then at some point he just stops and says to himself, you know what? You know, I thought humanity was something special when I made them. I was really pleased. I said, this is very good. I said, this is the pinnacle of the creation. You know, great. But now that I've lived in this body and I felt the aches and the pains and I've experienced the troubles and the difficulties And I've seen how people act towards one another. Maybe I don't want this anymore. Maybe I don't want to rescue them. Maybe they aren't worth it. Would that have surprised any one of us? No. All of us have seen the heartaches. All of us have been in the mud and the dirt. And we know that we are not. What is in man that God thinks of him? I don't know. Why does God care about us? I don't know. God is just so loving. He is just so loving. And he went through all 30 some odd years of his life and still thought it was worth the loss of his life. And in a death in that particular manner of so much shame and horror in order to rescue us. What an amazing God we have. What an amazing God. And how much Jesus must love us. How much? He knows what we're made of. He knows all the smelliness and the dirtiness and the disgustingness. He knows every part of us in a personal way, having walked among us as one of us. And yet he still loves us. This is amazing and should give us great cause for rejoicing. Jesus did not give up his nature, his divine nature, in order to take on human nature. But he did set aside some of the things that he was owed in order to come to be in flesh. We've already seen in Philippians chapter 2 that the form he took was the form of a servant because that is the form of man. But let us consider how much God deserves. God, who is above all, who is holy, perfect, light, who has angels to surround him in praise continually. Holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts. Continually having those to serve him in heaven. But then Jesus came to this earth and gave up all of that. He set it aside. He turned his back upon the things that are his due. Jesus was still worthy of all of that praise, even though he was born. And he set it all aside in order to be our redemption, to rescue us. So we see that Jesus came to be a servant, to give his life for many. Jesus came to give us life more abundant. Jesus came in the flesh, and yet is still God. Jesus came to bear witness unto the truth, and Jesus came that those who were blind might see, that they might see him, they might see God. What was it that Jesus wanted the people to understand? It is that God the Father wanted them to have a relationship with him. That God the Father wanted to show his love towards them. That's why Jesus came. And so, in the spirit of Christmas, or Christ's coming, let us make sure we proclaim a Jesus who is able to do all of those things and is able to open the eyes of those we are speaking to see that Jesus wants to rescue them, that Jesus wants to rescue even me. This is our Jesus. He was born that he might be seen and that God could be revealed. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is able to teach us all of those things that are useful for life and for godliness. Father, we are so grateful that you sent your Son in this way that we were able to most clearly see aspects about you that we could not understand without our Savior Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for being willing to come and be obedient unto the life and the death as a man on this earth. We thank you that you were able to show us that you are willing to love us in spite of all of the evil and the bad that we had been. And Lord, that you loved us in spite of all of that. We do not know how much we can say. But even if we had forever, it wouldn't be long enough to declare how much you have done and to express our joy at your coming and your revealing yourself to us. And Father, we ask that your name would be praised today. We ask that you would keep our hearts close to you, that the love that was shown would not be forgotten, and that the life that is given through Jesus would not be wasted or squandered. And Father, give us opportunities this week to express to everyone around us that Jesus did come. He was born, not just a historical fact, but a real fact that will change our lives. We thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.